Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because sleep is for losers. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom, obviously you were down the two key targets yesterday with Sanu out and Philip didn't pass the protocol. And you had to throw more to Harry and Myers. Myers said about being out there and trying to earn your trust, quote, "It's probably been one of the toughest things about being here, but I'm going to keep working at it, not give up, and hopefully I keep chipping away each day." Have you noticed him putting in extra work? Has there been any extra something he's done when he's needed to step up recently?
He's done a great job. I mean, he's, come in as an undrafted free agent and, you know, make the plays that he made all spring and then, you know, make the plays that he's made this season. And I think it's been so impressive. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about Jacoby. And
all right, that was Tom Brady earlier in the week. You heard Fitzy asking him about Jacoby Myers. How about that? Tom Brady said, "I can't say enough good things about Jacoby Myers." I think you could say a little bit more. Brady hasn't said much about the young rookie receivers this year. All I've heard this year, when Brady talks about the young receivers and the young weapons on the team, he always says, well, the system's tough to pick up. Well, it's a complicated offense. It takes a lot, right? All this stuff. So you could say a lot more about Jacoby Myers because, quite frankly, I like the way Jacoby Myers has played over the past couple weeks. Now, I know that there was a route that he ran the wrong way last week, and he did have a drop, but he had four catches in that game. Jacoby Myers, for a guy that the big issue with him coming out of NC State, or at least the big question, I should say, was, hey, is he going to be able to get open because he doesn't have a lot of speed? He's been getting open the past couple of weeks. Myers has been getting open, and he looks like somebody that can become a key contributor to this team down the stretch. And quite frankly, I don't see a big difference between Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett. Philip Dorsett, I don't understand why Brady thinks he's so good. Does anybody else think Philip Dorsett's as good as Tom Brady does? Tom Brady thinks he's like Marvin Harrison or something, the way he talks about Philip Dorsett. I've never been really impressed with Philip Dorsett. So if you can get another guy like Jacoby Myers who can work the middle of the field, can get down the field a little bit, and gets open, why not get him more involved in the offense? We saw N'Keal Harry with a nice catch in the end zone. He did drop another first down catch, but maybe that's the start of some momentum for the two young receivers on the team that they can start to get more involved in the offense because, quite frankly, they're going to need them down the stretch of the season to provide something if this offense is going to turn things around. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. What do you expect from Brady in the offense on Sunday? And I've made it abundantly clear. This has to be a big-time performance for Brady on Sunday from a statistical perspective because you look at the numbers this season. 267 yards per game, that's 10th in the league. Completing 62% of his passes, that's 24th in the league. You realize that Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, and Mitchell Trubisky have higher completion percentages right now than Tom Brady does. He has an 88.5 quarterback rating, that's 21st in the league. Guys like Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew, and Teddy Bridgewater all have higher quarterback ratings right now than Tom Brady does. He has 15 touchdowns, that's tied for 14th in the NFL. Daniel Jones has more. And I know what you're going to say. Well, look at the offensive line. Look at the lack of a running game. Look at the inconsistency with the receiver position. I admit, all that is fair. I don't look at anything right now that Tom Brady's done on the football field where I say to myself, okay, he's breaking down from a skill point. His age is starting to show up. The one thing, my one critique of Brady would be this. It feels like to me, Tom Brady, who's been the king of breaking the defense down with all the short passes, death by a million paper cuts, going up and down the field, basically sustaining an 8-minute drive where he's completing 5-yard passes, taking the easy pass and moving the ball up and down the football field. Okay, that's what Brady's been known for. I've seen him this year, and I think part of it's because he doesn't believe the offense has the ability and the capability to move the ball up and down the football field. He's been taking a lot more risks than I can ever remember Tom Brady making. He puts the ball in harm's way way more this year than I can ever remember. And that's not a skill thing. That's not Brady losing arm strength or Brady losing the ability to drive the football down the field or whatever you want to say. I don't see any of it in terms of his skill deteriorating. I just feel like Brady right now has not been super confident in the team around him to the point where he's taking more risks because he doesn't believe that they can go up the field with a 10-yard or a 10-play drive or an 8-yard or 8-play drive. He feels like, I got to get it all in one play. He almost looks like it sometimes a young quarterback that is always trying to hit the home run, like Carson Wentz, for example, that we saw a couple of weeks ago. He won't take the check down. He's trying to make all these plays down the football field because he doesn't believe they can move the ball up and down the field consistently. That's where Brady's at right now. That would be my one critique of Brady this season in terms of the on-the-field product and some of the skill set, if you will. It's the decision-making has been out of whack, but I really do think primarily that's because he doesn't have faith in the offensive weapons, the offensive line, et cetera, that he feels like, okay, I got to force this to try to pick up big chunks at a time because I don't think we're going to be able to go down the field methodically like we've been able to do in the past. So for the most part, I don't think it's been Brady's fault for where this team's at. But now this is the team you're going to have. Isaiah Wynn is now back, although he's one of the like 97 guys in the Patriots that is dealing with the flu, and I only slightly exaggerate. Like half the team is dealing with the flu right now. But now you have Isaiah Wynn back, so we're going to see much less of Marshall Newhouse, and I know we saw a little bit of him last week, and nobody wants to see that. But you do have Isaiah Wynn back, and now when I look at this going forward with the Patriots, they're going to play the Chiefs in 2 weeks, awful defense. And if you look at the opponent that's coming up this weekend, the Houston Texans, see, we think of the Texans through the years as if, oh, yeah, they got a good defense because of J.J. Watt and that group of guys. Well, J.J. Watt, of course, is done for the season, and Jadeveon Clowney is playing for the Seattle Seahawks. So look at these numbers from the Texans' defense this season. They are 17th in scoring defense. They give up 22.6 points per game. Atrocious. They are 20th in total defense. They give up 367 yards per game. They are 17th in rushing defense. They give up 108 yards per game. Not to mention the fact they're 24th in yards per rush. They give up 4.6 yards per rush. So they're almost giving up a first down each time an opposing ball carrier gets the ball. 4.6 yards per carry. They're 25th in passing yards per game. They give up 259 passing yards per game. So again, this is to the point where Brady needs to have a big game. They are 29th in sacks. They have just 22 sacks on the season. The only teams worse than them in terms of sacks are the Falcons, who suck, the winless Bengals, and the Miami Dolphins, who are tanking. By the way, if you're looking at like where teams are at in the league, the Patriots have 37 sacks. So they have 15 more sacks than do the J.J. Wattless Houston Texans. So you go through all those numbers, and you look at this team, and you say the defense is bad. Not to mention the fact Whitney Mercilus is their best pass rusher, who's got 5.5 sacks in the season. Whitney Mercilus last year was the third best pass rusher on the Houston Texans behind J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. So you're dealing with a guy that was once the third best pass rusher. He's now the first best guy on the team, or the best guy on the team. I don't know to say the first best guy, but you get the point. And then you look at the fact that in terms of the secondary, horrible. Their best cornerback right now is Jonathan Joseph. He's 35. He is 35 years old. He's the best cornerback on this team. So that's why I look at the matchups the next couple of weeks for the Patriots. We all know they play the Chiefs in 2 weeks, and that defense is horrible. Absolutely atrocious. They can't stop the run at all. This Houston Texans team, the defense that has been good for a number of years, is horrible now. Not to mention the fact that we know that Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels and that Bill Belichick, they're all very familiar with the type of defense that the Texans want to put out on the football field with Romeo Crennel. So this is a game to me that if Tom Brady doesn't go out there, I'm going to put the number at about 275 yards, two touchdowns, completes around 70% of his passes. That should be the bare minimum for Brady in this game because of the lack of talent on the defensive side of the football for the Houston Texans. Not to mention, remember where this game is. NRG Stadium in Houston, it's going to be perfect weather. We all know the Patriots have won two Super Bowls in that stadium. The weather is going to be perfect. No reasons to complain about that whatsoever. So it's a perfect throwing environment for Tom Brady. And I get that they have not had the best receiving core this season. The line has struggled at times. But now you're going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL of a good team, right? Because I'm not talking about the worst teams in the league like the Washington Redskins, etc. But in terms of the actual teams that have an opportunity to make the playoffs, this is one of the worst defenses you'll see. And in every statistical category from a defensive perspective, they're in the lower third of the league. So this is a game where you need to see Tom Brady go out there and be the Tom Brady of old. Because we need to see that Tom Brady still has that in the arsenal. I'm not doubting it whatsoever. In fact, I'm predicting that we'll see this. But again, we need to see it happen. Because at this particular point in time, the last opportunity that Brady actually had to feast on a defense was the New York Giants. That was on October 10th, the last time that Brady threw for north of 300 yards in a football game. The last time Tom Brady threw for 300 yards was October 10th. Think about how long ago that was. So what Brady needs to do this weekend, not that he owes the Patriots fans or the Patriots organization anything, but I think for the sake of the team and for the sake of the confidence of the team, Tom Brady needs to go out there and he needs to put a crooked number on the scoreboard to remind everybody that he's still Tom Brady and he's still capable of doing these things. Because if Tom Brady struggles against the Houston Texans defense, then I'm really going to question whether or not this team has the capabilities of making it to a Super Bowl this season. Because as great as the defense is, if you can't get it going against a team like the Houston Texans, who are absolutely atrocious from a defensive perspective, then we start to look at through the microscope and say, okay, is there something wrong with Brady? Because even despite the fact that he's been dealing with some issues offensively, this is the game that he has to get going. Because remember, this is the first time in ages where I can remember where you could look at the playoff scenario and find more than one quarterback that at this particular point in time, you would say, I don't know, would I rather have Tom Brady or that guy? In a playoff game right now, all I'm saying is, look, I understand Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time and all that. That goes without saying. But right now, if you're going into a playoff game, who would you rather have, Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady? Because I gave you Brady's numbers. You know what Mahomes' numbers are right now? 312 yards per game. He's completing 65% of his passes, 19 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has a 110 quarterback rating. Just to remind you, Brady, on the other hand, you know what his quarterback rating is? 88.5. Pat Mahomes is at 110. You look at Lamar Jackson, another guy that you may have to go through in a potential postseason game. 220 yards per game through the air, not overwhelming, but again, he adds 80 yards per game in the running game, so 310 total in terms of passing and rushing. Not to mention, he's completing 66% of his passes, which is higher than Tom Brady. He has just 4 interceptions. And oh, by the way, he has a 111 quarterback rating. So right now, for the first time in ages, when you're going into a potential playoff scenario, we always had maybe one guy that you would look at. Okay, so maybe you would say, and you probably wouldn't even do this because Peyton Manning was never the greatest postseason performer in terms of the numbers in the postseason. But maybe you would say, okay, you're heading into the AFC playoffs, and there's one quarterback you would rather have than Tom Brady, and that's Peyton Manning. And again, I would say that's a long shot anyway, but maybe some people had that idea going into the postseason. From my perspective, I would have never taken Manning over Brady in the postseason. Brady's way better. Brady's better outside and all that different type of stuff. But again, during the run that Brady's had, that's the only guy you point to in like a potential playoff game where you say, okay, maybe they have the advantage at quarterback. Everybody else, no way. You're taking Brady over those guys for all these years. Even last year, that's the only time I can remember where most people would have rather had the quarterback on the other side of the football, Pat Mahomes. But again, that was only one guy. If last year you looked through the playoffs, you could only come up with one guy that you'd say, you know what, I'd rather have that guy over Brady right now. Especially after the season Brady was coming off when he was the MVP of the league and Brady threw for north of 500 yards in that Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. You're like, okay, Brady in a playoff game? The only guy possibly would be Mahomes because Mahomes had that historic season where he threw for 50 touchdown passes. You're saying, okay, maybe I'd give the nod to Mahomes. But now you're looking at this AFC and you're saying, well, Lamar Jackson, the way that offense is playing right now, I don't know. The way that Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense can light it up, and I get that they've been struggling from a record perspective because mainly their defense, but Pat Mahomes and that offense, we know they can get it going. Brady needs to do everybody a favor this weekend and remind us why he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And when he has the opportunity to put up a crooked number on the opposition, he needs to go out and do that this weekend. And I think from a team building standpoint, it's important for the Patriots to perform well offensively because what we've seen is a quarterback all season long that has lacked confidence in those around him. And we've seen all season long, Brady has been pouty when he goes up to the podium, etc. He's always been that prince of positivity. And this year, every time it seems like he goes up to the podium, it's something negative. It's something negative that Brady has on his mind. He's in a weird position because the team's winning all these games. They're 10-1, yet Tom Brady and the offense is underachieving. And I have to imagine the biggest part of this, and I know everybody wants to put out the conspiracy theories. Oh, is it because Tom's going into a contract year and he feels like he's not going to get the deal ultimately he wants because the numbers aren't there? I understand all those conspiracy theories are out there and all that different type of stuff. And maybe he's upset with the organization because he didn't get the long-term deal that ultimately he wanted. It wasn't about the money. It was about the security. It was about the respect. A 2 to 3 year contract. That's what Brady wanted. Okay, I acknowledge all those things could be up in the air. But I think really when it comes to Brady, is the biggest concern for Brady is he wants to be able to go out there in a playoff game and be able to have the guys around him and be able to have the confidence in the guys around him to compete at the highest level. And it feels like, from my perspective, that's where Brady's frustration comes from, because this is a really different position for Brady to be in, right? Brady's in a position right now where he feels like his side of the ball is actually becoming a liability for the football team, to the point where a couple of weeks ago, he referenced the fact that this is a team that's designed around the strengths of the defense and the special teams, basically saying, offensively, we just have to be careful and not turn the football over. And think about the role reversal for Brady. He's the guy that has carried this franchise for so many damn years. He's the guy that threw for 500 yards at a Super Bowl and lost. Remember, there was about a four-year window from about 09 to about 2013 where the defense was rubbish. And then in 14, they completely turned the defense around. They bring in Darrelle Revis. And we all know the history. They won the Super Bowl that year because the defense at least got marketably better. But all that time, it was about Brady and Brady carrying the offense and Brady being the greatest quarterback of all time. So how do you adjust when you're now 42 years old and you've done it one way for the majority of your career? And I get early in his career, he was a game manager. But how do you go back to being that guy? That's the part, and that's the issue that I believe Brady has right now, is he's trying to basically come to the realization or come to the conclusion that, okay, I'm going to be a part of the puzzle. But if I'm going to be a part of the puzzle, I got to make sure this thing works. And that's why I think this game, because I don't think the Patriots are threatened by the Texans in terms of, I don't see the Patriots losing this game. Bill O'Brien, we all know the numbers. He is 0-5 against Bill Belichick, including he lost a game when Jacoby Brissett had to start because Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. Remember that? They lost to Jacoby Brissett, who had never had a start in the NFL. Jacoby Brissett goes out there against the Texans and he beats them. So I'm not threatened by the Texans. But the thing that does concern me about this game is if the offense does not perform up to the level that Brady's accustomed to seeing this offense perform, if they play poorly against this Houston Texans team, that's where I say to myself, okay, we have real issues going forward here. Because, look, I acknowledge the offense has had issues all season long, but I'm willing now, since you have Isaiah Wynn back, you're getting the rookies involved, the Jacoby Myers, the N'Keal Harrys, involved in the game plans now. Those guys are now becoming parts of the equation, parts of the offense, not just things we're imagining. Like, oh, what does N'Keal Harry look like on a football field, because we didn't see him for the first 8 weeks of the season or so, right? So we're not imagining those things anymore. This is pretty much the team you have. And if you can't do it against a horrible defense that is the Houston Texans, and if you can't do it the following week against a horrible defense that is the Kansas City Chiefs, then you're going to really start to question, okay, can a team in 2019 win the Super Bowl going through the playoffs, just holding teams to essentially 12, 13, 14 points a game? I just believe in 2019, with these offenses, like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, like Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, that's an awfully difficult task, and I think it's too much to ask. Even though this defense is great, it's too much to ask of these guys. All right, a lot more to get into, including, could a Patriots assistant be on his way to become the Dallas Cowboys head coach? Plus, some comments that Bill Belichick made about DeAndre Hopkins this week that stuck out to me, and I have a theory of why Bill Belichick made the comments. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Bill, how have you seen, how's DeAndre Hopkins, you know, different than Amari Cooper in that matchup last week? What's different about him?
Two totally different players. They're both good, they're two totally different players.
How is Hopkins different?
It's a different skill set. He's longer, he's more physical. He's got a catch radius and hands that are elite.
All right, so that was Bill Belichick talking about DeAndre Hopkins earlier this week. He called him elite. He's not just elite. According to Bill Belichick, DeAndre Hopkins is elite. He also said if he's covered, he's still not covered because he still has the ability to go up and get the ball. He's never really covered. Okay, so a couple of things here. And by the way, Brian Barrett with you for the next 90 minutes or so. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Patriots and the Texans coming up this weekend, or Earl Thomas predicting that the Ravens are going to be in the Super Bowl. All that's on the table at 617-779-7937. All right, so a couple of things of why Bill Belichick said this. So obviously, nationally, this made headlines. This wasn't just a local story. This was a national story that Bill Belichick called DeAndre Hopkins elite. So a couple of things here, a couple of angles to what Bill Belichick's saying. Obviously, the number one thing is he obviously believes this. He believes that DeAndre Hopkins is this outstanding receiver, which he clearly is. He's been an all-pro multiple times. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. So clearly he's saying something that he truly believes. But I think a couple of other things. So Bill talked this week about the whole Top 100 project that he did. And he said this, quote, "The whole process was great, and I think in a way definitely made me a better coach from the things that I've learned," talking about himself getting better. Okay, so he was talking about Bill Belichick was saying how he's now a better coach from doing the Top 100 thing. This is the greatest coach in the history of the sport. The guy that has six Super Bowl rings, well, eight technically, going back to his defensive coordinator days with the Giants. But he's saying, I'm a better coach. That's about him. He's saying, telling us that he's better than he was last year. And remember what he did last year. He destroyed Sean McVay. Sean McVay was destroyed in the Super Bowl by Bill Belichick's defense, okay? And he's saying, hey, I'm even better than I was last year. So kind of puffing his chest out a little bit, and ordinarily, Bill doesn't do that. He taunted Lane Johnson this year, remember? He's saying, we had some fun out there because Lane Johnson famously said on a podcast, I believe it was somewhere with Barstool, but on a podcast, Lane Johnson referenced the fact that the Patriots don't have fun. And Bill Belichick, after his defense completely shut down that Philadelphia Eagles offense 2 weeks ago, he made it clear that he wanted to take a shot at Lane Johnson and said, my guys had a lot of fun out there. Okay, so Bill Belichick, in the past couple of weeks, he's taken a shot at an opposing player, and he's referenced the fact that he's a better coach now than he was. Okay, so getting back to what he said about DeAndre Hopkins, he pointed out the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is elite, making it clear that he thinks that DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the NFL. So he's putting that thought out there. Hey, DeAndre Hopkins is this good. DeAndre Hopkins is this dominant. So from my perspective, what Bill Belichick's trying to do without coming out and saying it, right, like Rex Ryan would tell us, hey, I got the best defense in the league and all that, we're the best defense in the league. What Bill Belichick is doing without saying it is he is propping up the defense that he has here in New England. Because think about the resume they're building up. So he saw last week Stephon Gilmore took out Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper in that game against the Dallas Cowboys had as many catches as I did. Zero. No catches in that game whatsoever. So what this could be doing is Bill trying to create some momentum. Because remember, he just came from a place this summer where he was talking about the history of the game. The top 100 players in the history of the sport. He's saying he learned a lot from that experience. So obviously Bill Belichick has always been somebody that is enamored and knows the history of the NFL. So he wants to be considered an historically great defense. You don't think Bill Belichick wants that? Clearly he wants to be considered one of the best defenses in the history of the NFL. So he's pointing out the fact, oh, DeAndre Hopkins, elite, elite. Look what we did to Amari Cooper last week. So if you could have a resume where you take out DeAndre Hopkins, you already took out Amari Cooper in terms of them having very little production. You go back to the Browns game, Odell Beckham Jr. was not relevant in that game whatsoever. He finished with like 52 receiving yards, but remember, a lot of that was in garbage time when the game was already over. Stephon Gilmore basically took Odell Beckham Jr. out of that game. He rendered him ineffective. And then you also look at the fact that they have Tyreek Hill coming up on the schedule. And remember, Bill Belichick and his defense basically took Tyreek Hill out of the AFC Championship game. Tyreek Hill was not a factor whatsoever in that game. Not a factor whatsoever. So if you just look at the list that Bill Belichick can put out there, at the end of the season, they can say, oh, we made Odell Beckham Jr. look like an ordinary player. He did not have an impact on the game whatsoever. Amari Cooper basically didn't play. Stephon Gilmore went out there and completely shut Amari Cooper down. Oh, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, who Bill Belichick called elite elite, in the hypothetical that the Patriots did the same thing to Hopkins. Oh, they took him out. Oh, yeah, and then Tyreek Hill, who's like the fastest receiver in the NFL, one of the most dynamic receivers in the NFL. The Patriots basically rendered him ineffective as well. So if the Patriots can get all those things on the resume, it just points to the fact that this is one of the historically great defenses of all time. Now, of course, if they were going to wear that flag, they would have to finish the job, right? So they have all the statistics right now. The statistics are incredible. But if they actually finish the job, they win the Super Bowl, they can point back to this thing and say, hey, we have an historically great defense. And I can't remember a time recently where I can remember Bill Belichick. It seems like he's having more fun than he's ever had in the past coaching a football team. And I believe it's because he's now gotten back to his roots, right? Because Bill Belichick had the opportunity last year to basically make up for the season prior. So remember, Bill Belichick came under a lot of heat for the whole Malcolm Butler situation. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. But what I am pointing out is that, remember, Nick Foles destroyed Bill Belichick's defense in the Super Bowl, right? And most people that have some level of intelligence, not the Rob Parkers, the Max Kellermans of the world, most people blamed Bill Belichick and the defense for the Patriots losing to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, a game that, remember, Tom Brady and the Patriots offense, they didn't need to punt the ball in that game once. Now, Brady did get strip sacked at the end of the game, but again, they never punted the ball, and Brady threw for 500 yards in that game. So what happened was Belichick came under a lot of criticism, not Brady. Remember, Brady was the one that even said after the Super Bowl he didn't know why Malcolm Butler was not playing. So a lot of people were upset with the situation and how things transpired in that specific game, and obviously the blame went Belichick's way, not Tom Brady's way. But Belichick basically got to make up for his error, right? Because how the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year was with defense. Remember, they shut out Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the first half. And again, Pat Mahomes and company made a comeback. But then you flip forward to the Super Bowl, and the Rams, correct me if I'm wrong, had scored like the 11th most points in the history of the sport. And Sean McVay was being labeled this genius head coach, this unbelievable head coach, this innovative offense and all that. And what did Belichick do to that offense? He made them look like they were a high school offense. They scored 3 points in that football game, had trouble moving the football up and down the field. They took the running game completely out of the equation for the Rams, and Jared Goff looked completely lost, like he still looks lost right now. So Belichick, that Super Bowl after last year, he got all the credit for what happened. It wasn't about Tom Brady and the offense. It was all about what Bill Belichick and that defense, Brian Flores and company, what they came up with as a game plan to basically dominate the Rams. So now the Patriots, we're back to the start of this whole thing where it's back to everybody's giving credit to Belichick and not Brady anymore, right? So Brady got all this time in the middle of the dynasty where he was the guy, he was lifting the franchise. Brady has the Super Bowl moments, the 28-3 comeback. Brady has the moment against Seattle where he comes back against what was a team that was on the verge of beating Manning and Brady in back-to-back Super Bowls. Brady has all those moments. He didn't get the 500-yard game to basically get the Super Bowl too, but he did have a 500-yard game of the Super Bowl. Brady's had all those moments. It's been a long time since Belichick's had that type of moment where Belichick's been the reason. Now, locally, we give Belichick a lot of credit, but from a national perspective, Belichick's been talked about more so recently than he has in previous seasons because of the way that this defense has been playing. People are talking about the zero blitz and the strategies of Bill Belichick in that defense and all the thing they do, the disciplined football, etc. The defense is getting more credit than it has in the recent past. And I believe Bill Belichick has been rejuvenated with this type of football team because The NFL over the past, decade or so, even going back to before that, they've been making all these rules that favor the offense. It's always been about offensive football in recent history. The league has made rules to basically promote more scoring. And Bill Belichick in 2019 is running over the league with this dominating defense, right? So he's basically zagging when everybody else is zigging. All these other teams in the NFL, and I get San Francisco has the great defense as well, but you think about some of these other premier teams. The Ravens are doing it with offense, despite the fact their defense is improving, but the Ravens are doing it with offense. You look at a team, for example, like the Chiefs. They're doing it with offense. You look out into the NFC. The Packers, even though they struggled on Sunday Night Football, they're doing it with offense, right? Their offense with Matt LaFleur and company, Sean McVay disciple, by the way. So the Minnesota Vikings, they're doing it with offense. Kirk Cousins right now, despite the fact you don't trust him in a playoff game, he has the best quarterback rating in the NFL. They're doing it with offense. Even Seattle, that remember that original team that they had with the Earl Thomases of the world, the Richard Shermans of the world, that was built on defense. They're doing it with offense. So there's really, and the Saints are doing it with offense. Despite the fact people thought their defense was way better than it was, they gave up like a 31 spot to the Carolina Panthers and Kyle Allen last week. So the Patriots and the Niners are the two teams right now in the NFL that are doing it with defense, and I believe Belichick loves doing it this way because it goes back to his roots of what he did in the 1980s with the New York Giants, where they were just completely shutting down great offenses like Joe Montana and the San Francisco 49ers, like Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. So Belichick is going back to what made him a great coach at the start of his career. Now, obviously, when you have a superstar like Tom Brady, and the superstar that was Tom Brady for 20 years in the NFL, you're going to placate towards the offense. You're going to favor the offense. And you're going to put resources into the offense to basically have this great unit, and you're going to win football games on that side of the ball. So Belichick did that for a number of years, but now the fact that he's acquired all these great defensive players, whether it be via trade or whether it be through the draft, right? He's been able to put these pieces together. Dante Hightower brings back Jamie Collins. He signed Stephon Gilmore. Remember a couple of years ago, people thought that was a bad contract because Gilmore got off to a slow start here, and now Gilmore has emerged as the best corner in the NFL. They draft J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, those guys. They bring over Jason McCourty. Devin McCourty's been a staple with this organization for years. They get a guy like Kyle Van Noy, who the Lions had no use for. He comes over to the Patriots, and now he's like an emerging star in the NFL. Butler's had a nice season, right? So he's put together this unbelievable defense, and he's now getting credit for this unbelievable defense. So that's why Belichick right now, he's basically role-reversed with Tom Brady. Because through it all, over the years, Brady's been the guy that's always preaching positivity. Brady's been the guy that is always happy when he goes to the podium. Unless they lose, you know, he gets upset, but he's always smiling when he goes up to the podium. And Belichick's been the guy throughout the years that's grumpy. He's going to give you the one-word answers. And now it seems like Bill Belichick is having more fun than he's had in ages. And I think part of it is what happened with Sean McVay in the Super Bowl and him destroying Sean McVay, this whole top 100 thing. And now the fact that he realizes that his defense is on the brink of history right now. And I think he loves the challenge of winning this way, right? So, for example, you're going to get to go up against Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Watson considered to be one of the great young quarterbacks in the league. He relishes the opportunity to destroy that offense, just like he relished the opportunity to destroy the Cowboys. And I get there was weather involved, but Dak Prescott came into the game leading the league in passing, and the Cowboys' offense was first in total offense. I believe Belichick relishes those opportunities just like he will against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. And I also love the fact that it seems like Belichick, and he's always done stuff like this, but the fact that we can point out specific instances in games where he is just basically pantsing the opponent's coach, like what he did to Jason Garrett on that Sunday game against the Cowboys, it was borderline embarrassing for the Cowboys, but it just was incredible for Belichick. I mean, think about what he did to him on that special teams play, where the Cowboys are getting ready to punt the ball, and Belichick doesn't have a guy deep. And he basically has the Cowboys caught off guard completely, and they take a delay of game. And then the very next play, or the same play, I should say, but after the penalty, Belichick still has this odd formation out there, and he has the Cowboys completely tricked to the point where they get an illegal shift. So that's another penalty for the Cowboys. And then what happens at the end of all this is you're in a situation where the Cowboys lose at least 20 yards in field position, maybe even worse, because remember, they had that original punt, so it could have been more than 20 yards if they didn't take that original 5-yard penalty for a delay of game. So when you just look at it from that perspective, Belichick had this opportunity to basically embarrass a coach, absolutely embarrass a coach on the other side. And he took complete advantage of it, because the way the Patriots won that game the other night was because it's not because the Patriots had significantly more talent than the Cowboys did. The reason the Patriots beat the Cowboys is because one coach was so much more prepared than the other coach. And again, you listen to the opposing owner. Jerry Jones said after the game, special teams is a reflection of the coach. Belichick and the Patriots special teams was way more prepared than were the Dallas Cowboys and their special teams. And I have to imagine, when you're a coach, as much success as Bill Belichick has had, that has to be so rewarding, when you just feel so much smarter than your opposition and you make them look bad. Right? It's one thing for like Brady to make a defense look bad. I'm sure that's very rewarding for him. But it's not often that you see it where a coach makes the other coach look so bad that it becomes rewarding for the coach. And Belichick will always give the credit to the players and all that. But I have to imagine Belichick goes home that night after that game, and he's got to be smiling ear to ear at what he just did to Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett, he was so bad in that game that the owner, who has basically supported him through bad coaching decision after bad coaching decision, the owner was embarrassed so badly that he called out the coach after the game and blamed the coach for the issues with the special teams. Think about how bad that is in terms of the look that that provides for the Cowboys and the optics it provides to the fans. Just a horrible look, and I got to imagine Belichick soaked that up. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and 20 minutes or so. Let's get to Kelly. He's in Amherst. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I really like that point that you just made about Belichick being the happier one now, you know, and Brady being the more grumpy one. I'm definitely hearing that for sure, but yeah. I hadn't heard that yet. But, you know, I think there's more to it than just about, you know, it being more focused on the defense. I think it's also about us not being, well, not us, but the Patriots being less of a collection of talent. You know what I'm saying? Because just with the loss of Gronkowski, it changes the whole story.
Say that again, Kelly. I think we lost Kelly. You can grab him if you want. You can grab his line if you'd like. The number is 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. So, yeah, that's my whole point about Belichick, is just the fact that I feel like he's enjoying winning the way that he came up winning football games when he was the defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells with the Giants. They won it on defense. It had become about Brady, and now it is essentially Bill Belichick's team again in terms of how they're winning football games. They're doing it with defense, and I have to imagine that Belichick gets more excited now preparing for these games, considering he's basically the defensive coordinator, getting back to his roots, game planning for these great opposing offenses. It's going to be more rewarding than some of these other wins over the years for Belichick, when they're winning games like 41-38 in the prime of Brady's career, or they're winning games 35-28, something along those lines, when it's a bend but don't break defense. And now it's one of the best defenses from a numbers perspective that we've ever seen in the history of the league. Now they got to finish the job and do all that. But right now it's one of the best defenses we've seen in recent history, not just from a Patriots perspective, but from an NFL angle in general. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. I do want to get into a certain assistant coach of the Patriots. Could he actually be on the way to the Cowboys? Say it's not so. Plus, I am going to defend Sony Michel. I know a lot of people want to, but I'm going to defend Sony Michel in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Our defense is playing great. Our special teams unit's playing great. They're keeping us in every game. And offensively, I've said we got to take advantage when we get opportunities in short fields. And we had a few of those yesterday, and really didn't. And those are the ones that probably frustrate me the most.
All right, that was Tom Brady on the Greg Hill Show talking about the frustration he's had with the offense so far this season. We've heard a lot of that from Brady this year. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so if you want to hop on board with us. So I'm just pointing this out again. The Texans pass defense, 25th in passing yards per game. They give up 259. They're 29th in sacks. So this weekend, Tom Brady's going to go up against a defense that is terrible in the secondary. A 35-year-old in Jonathan Joseph is their best defensive back. And they're 29th in sacks. They're down to now their third best pass rusher from last year. And Whitney Mercilus is disguised as their number one pass rusher right now. J.J. Watt no longer part of the equation. We know Clowney's in Seattle. This is a game where Brady should be able to put up a crooked number. And I want to hear a happy Brady after a game. Come out to the podium, be excited. You should be able to put up at least 270 yards, two touchdowns, and complete about 70% of your passes against these guys. If they don't do that this weekend, if Brady doesn't have a monster game against the Houston Texans, then it's really time to be very concerned about this offense. There's already concerns about it, right? But you're giving it time. You're saying, all right, Isaiah Wynn's now back for his second game. We'll see how things start to go with Isaiah Wynn. How much of a difference can he make? Some of these younger guys, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, they're starting to get involved. They're going to get Dorsett back eventually. Mohamed Sanu is going to be back at some point. Again, he's been dealing with this ankle injury. We'll see when he's back onto the football field. But let's wait until Brady has the full set of arsenal and the full arsenal in terms of the weapons. And now the line's getting a little bit healthier, and we won't have to see Marshall Newhouse much anymore. Then we'll make a judgment on where this offense is at. But this is the game where they should get right. This is a get-right game for Brady and the Patriots offense right now. Let's get to Eddie's in Boston. What's going on, Ed?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of sick of Brady's kind of being a crybaby this year.
It's annoying, isn't it?
He's coming off the field. He looks like he's showing up his offensive line in the rookie receivers. I don't think you'd see someone like Jeter do that, or Montana, or any, you know, prototypical leader that you see in sports. And I think it's just a bad showing by Brady. I mean, he's supposed to be the leader of the team. That doesn't make guys want to play harder. It makes them, you know, feel like whatever they do is not going to be good enough.
Ed, let me ask you this. Do you think that, and I'm just posing the question, do you think that if Tom Brady, if before the season Belichick gave Brady what he wanted, which was the 2 to 3 year contract extension, do you think if Belichick gave Brady that contract that he'd be acting as pouty and as whiny as he is right now?
I think if they gave him Antonio Brown, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, okay, so that's another point. And that's more on Robert Kraft than it is Bill Belichick. That's not a Belichick call. That's a Robert Kraft call. But going back to the contract question, I think that plays a role in why Brady's so pouty and so whiny, because remember, Brady's the one that basically, this was the thing that he thought was going to be the big achievement because he didn't get the deal he wanted. So he said, oh, well, I can get leverage. I can be a free agent at the end of the season. I can go to any suitor. I can go to the highest bidder and I can threaten the Patriots as I'm going to leave. And now if you look at it from Brady's perspective, he's like, my numbers are horrible. Like, this is not working out the way I wanted it to work out. I wanted to go into the next offseason, have these incredible numbers and say, hey, Bill, look, you got to give me a 3-year deal at $30 million per season. It's not working out in Brady's favor. I have to imagine that knowing he's in a walk year is weighing into some of the frustration and some of the poutiness we've seen from Brady.
I would disagree only because I can't imagine he's thinking about his contract during the middle of a game as opposed to he's thinking, I told you guys that this offense wouldn't work, you know, when he's not able to complete a pass or guys can't get open or he has no time to throw. But either way, it's just not a good look for somebody who's supposedly, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, it's fair.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's fair. Appreciate the call, Ed. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. I do believe the contract plays a role in all this. And I do believe the main thing, though, is the frustration with the way that the offense has been not producing whatsoever. I believe that's the main issue that Brady has right now. But I have to believe when he goes home, he's thinking about the contract. After games, when he's talking about the frustration and all that, he's thinking about the contract. He's thinking about the fact that the Patriots wouldn't give him that 2 to 3 year deal that ultimately he wanted. We know that's what Brady wanted. It wasn't so much about the money. It's never been about the money for Brady. It's been about the security. He has said multiple times he wanted to play till he's 45. When Christian Fourier did that thing a couple of weeks ago and they had Alex Guerrero on, the diabetes awareness, when they had Alex Guerrero on, Alex Guerrero said, hey, we've talked about playing to 46, 47. So I have to imagine that it's aggravating Brady that, remember, Brady is one of the most competitive guys in the history of sports. So Brady wants to compete at everything. So when Brady isn't given what he wanted last offseason, that security, that long-term deal from Bill Belichick, He's thinking, as a competitor, I want to make sure that I can go to the negotiating table next time around and put my numbers on the table and say, hey, man, you got to give me the 2 to 3 year extension that ultimately I've been asking for. I have to imagine that that's in the back of Brady's mind right now. But the biggest issue now is just the fact that if you look at this team and if you look at this offense, how are they going to be consistent and how are they going to find a way to create some identity going forward? That's, I think, the number one thing on Brady's mind. Because Brady has said it, and Josh McDaniels has said it, that right now, this offense doesn't have an identity. And last week, I'm not going to put a whole lot into the numbers from the offense because of the fact that it was so bad in terms of the weather, etc. I actually thought that Brady did not play poorly in that game, despite the numbers being awful. He was 17 of 37 for, what, a buck 90 at a touchdown. I don't think that Brady played poorly in that game at all. And I actually thought Brady threw the ball pretty well. He had a couple of drops. By the way, I mean, that's another thing that sticks out to you about these Patriots. You realize they're fourth in the NFL in dropped passes. Not to mention the fact that Julian Edelman right now, who is the go-to guy, who's the number one weapon for Brady, he leads the NFL in drops. He's got 8 drops on the season. And I believe part of that is he's hurting the shoulder, the chest, all that different type of stuff that he's been dealing with throughout the season. I believe that's part of the equation with the drops is he's dealing with injuries throughout the season. So how can this team create an identity? I believe it started last week where Sony Michel got going a little bit in the running game, where he ran for 85 yards, and that's something that clearly has been missing from the Patriots. And think about what happened last week. Isaiah Wynn back in the lineup. I'm not giving him all the credit for the running game, but Isaiah Wynn back. You don't have the worst left tackle in the NFL anymore in Marshall Newhouse. Jacoby Myers played a role. N'Keal Harry, although he had that bad drop, he did have a touchdown, which was obviously critical in the football game, where he had that beautiful catch in the end zone. And then you also look at the fact that now you're hopefully going to get Sanu back, and we'll see if he plays this Sunday. He's been dealing with an ankle injury. But now you're starting to think, okay, if Myers can give you something, if Harry can at least give you something, maybe some contested catches, you know what you have with Edelman. I still have no idea why James White wasn't heavily involved in the game plan last week. I don't understand any game plan where James White isn't heavily involved. But this team, it starts on Sunday in terms of looking like a competent, looking like a dominant offense. I believe the team needs it. I really do. I believe the team needs a performance like this because think about how you're going to feel if you come away from the game on Sunday. If the Patriots go to Houston and they come away with one of these dominating wins from a defensive perspective, say they win the game like 17-3, is that going to feel rewarding to you as a Patriots fan? See, from my perspective, it's going to feel rewarding to me even if the defense isn't perfect in this game. If the defense doesn't play as well as it played against Dallas, if the defense doesn't play as well as it played against Philadelphia, even if the defense has a slightly off game, but the Patriots' offense is the reason they win the game. Brady puts up 34, or Brady puts up 28 points, and they're dominating time of possession, and Michelle has a good game, and Edelman gets going again. And if Sanu comes back, he plays well. Maybe one of the rookies contributes again, whether it's Myers or Harry. I'll take either one contributing to the offense. Maybe Ben Watson gets going, who we've seen flashes from, but no sense of consistency whatsoever. So if the offense comes away with a great game, I think it benefits this team in terms of the confidence going forward and the quarterback, because I think right now, just like the rest of us, we have legitimate doubts about what this offense can do in terms of a consistent basis. Can they perform on a week-to-week basis? The quarterback clearly has that same frustration. He's alluded to it. So when you have the super fan here locally that complains when the media has issues with the offense and the lack of production for the offense, just listen to what the quarterback said over the past basically 10 weeks of the season. The quarterback has pointed multiple times to the fact that this offense isn't good enough right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.